I'd like you to open your Bible to 2 Corinthians chapter 4. Open your Bibles, please, to 2 Corinthians chapter 4. We're going to read to verses 8 through 18. And as I was listening to the prayer requests and the problems that are going on, in our own little journeys and your folks, and I said to Anita, I says, now I know why God wants me to have this message. So it's good to be in tune with God, isn't it? Give us, you go to a banquet and you're wondering, what's the main course? I don't know. I hope it's something good. Well, I hope this is going to be something good, what we need. 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verses 8 through 18. Notice, when we get through this, I'm going to be asking for a raise of hands, because how many are going through this now? Because mine will be raised too. We are troubled on every side, yet not distressed. We are perplexed, but not in despair. Persecuted, but not forsaken. Cast down, but not destroyed. Always bearing about in the body, in the dying of the Lord Jesus, that the life also of Jesus might be made manifest in our body. For we which live are always delivered unto death for Jesus' sake, that in the life also of Jesus might be made manifest in our mortal flesh. So then death worketh in us, but life in you. We have the same spirit of faith, according as is written, I believed, and therefore have I spoken. We also believe, and therefore speak. Knowing that he which raised up the Lord Jesus shall raise us up also by Jesus, and shall present us with you. For all things are for your sakes, that the abundant grace might, through the thanksgiving of many, redound to the glory of God, for which cause we faint not. For though our outward man perish, yet the inward man is renewed day by day. For our light affliction, which is but for a moment, worketh for us a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory, while we look not at the things which are seen, but at the things which are not seen. For the things which are seen are temporal, and the things which are not seen are eternal. My wife and I just got back from a cruise. We went to Bermuda. We had our wedding vows renewed on ship. If you know anything about our Facebook, we have a few pictures there and whatever. And we had three other families go with us that had never been cruising before, and I think we gave them the cruise bug because they want to go. They want to go again. So do we. We need a vacation from our vacation now. So, yeah. But they were saying, well, what in the world? You guys are going to Bermuda and there's a hurricane going through. Yeah, well, we were a day late, but we kind of went around the designated course. We kind of went around and we just kind of followed behind the storm, and everything was cool. Everything was great. It was one of the best cruises, as far as waves are concerned, than we've ever had. It was really great. But when those things happen, when you're going through the storms or in the waves, and we've seen that before, stabilizers come out, and they kind of like keep the ship from doing a lot of rocking and rolling. And so what stabilizers are to a ship in a stormy sea was conscious presence of Christ, and is to a Christian during the storms that we are presented with in our life. Christians have never been promised an exemption from storms of life. Do you find anything in the Word that says we're never going to have problems? Anybody? No? I've never seen. We have those, don't we? And obviously by some of the things that we've been hearing, we all do. And I think that's in you know, we are in the storminess of just life. The scriptures teach us that man is born to trouble as surely as sparks fly upward. Yeah, that's what Job says in chapter 5. Yeah, they're there. We have those. It's our reaction to life storms that reveal our level of spiritual maturity. So how you face the storm, we're all going to go through them. You know, all the storms that we have, it 90% of it is how we react to that. Because, again, the spiritual maturity in knowing what Christ is able to do, how much comfort he's able to give, assures us that this storm, all of a sudden you're going to hear, and then it's going to be a little bumpy here and there. The waves still come up to the 8th floor, you know. But, hey. We're not going down. We're not going to be rocking and rolling, man. But, you know, in this storm, we can either become bitter or belligerent, or we can use the experience to develop a greater spiritual strength as we learn to rely on the fully relying on the Lord, that he's our strength and our stay. How many here have never been through a trial? Wow, really? Nobody? Huh. That's amazing. Yeah, just, they come knocking on the door daily, don't they? Seems. But not only do we have an indwelling presence of Christ, but we also have the assurance that Jesus Christ in the heavens today is interceding for us. Just as the Old Testament priest stood behind the veil in the tabernacle or the temple to present to represent the Israelites before God, so does Jesus beg and plead God for us when we are praying and going to God and really kind of like throwing out the bombs to, you know, God, please, we have this need, we have this situation, we have this illness, we have this accident, we have this, and we need you. Sometimes our prayers become so intense that we're almost kind of like yelling at God almost, you know. I need you. I need you. But let me ask you this question as kind of, that's kind of an interesting question. Has it ever occurred to you that nothing ever occurs to God? Did you get that one? Has it ever occurred to you that nothing ever occurs to God? Did you know that God knows what's going on in your life right now? Did you know that God knows every intricate thing that is in your heart, your mind, your soul, everything, that's all the stuff is going on? And sometimes we're just waiting for God to do something. Well, God, you know the problem I'm having here, and that's it seems to be taking an awful long time. Mm-hmm. So what's he doing? I think sometimes he needs to get our attention, huh? I know he's got mine a few times. We think about the things that happen to us and our families, and I know we're going through stuff too. But did you know that they're already planned by God on his own clock? Did you know that God already knew about them? Did you know that God already knew that there was going to be a motorcycle accident long before it even existed, while he was in the womb? I'm glad I don't know God's schedule, because I'd be afraid to come out of my house. You know, I'd be afraid to do things, because he wants us to walk by faith and not by sight. If we had to walk by sight all the time, you know, sometimes we have to walk through some things and we kind of like, I hope I don't fall. You know, those kind of things. Or we can just, I know what I need to do in life, and I'm going to do that today. And it's, you just pray, I trust that God is going to be with me through it. Protect me, give me wisdom, guidance, whatever, and so on. And you just pray for God's leading all through the day or whatever it is. And And that's what we do. But we walk by faith, not knowing what the next step is. That's what faith is. Believing God. Believing God and what he said is true. Not doubting that he hasn't not taken his eye off of us, being distracted by all the things that are in the world. You know, wow, I didn't even know. Oh, sorry, Chuck. I kind of, you know. No, he doesn't do that at all. You know, this Israeli war has really got to the best of me, and I just kind of took my eyes off of my flock. Nah, he doesn't, he's not worried about that. He watches over us as if you are his morning. You know, he watches you this morning. He's not going to take his eye off of you. He watches every step that you're taking. And sometimes he even puts people in your path to prevent you from falling. You know, you sometimes you just wonder why did you come into my life? Because he put us, we needed help. And we didn't even know we needed help. Or we're getting ready to do something, and he puts that person there, and he says, hey, I'm gonna walk with you through this, or I'm gonna be your friend, or I'm gonna have this, you know, this conversation, whatever it is. And these people come in your life, and you're wondering, is this, you know, why? Because you may need them someday. He put that person there. He ordained this thing. He knows the future that you're facing right now, and there's going to be something down the road, and you're gonna need that. He wants nothing more than to come in your life and help you through your storm, because you know what? Mark it down, there's gonna be a storm. There's gonna be some storm. We live in New England, right? Well, maybe you don't, but I do. You're pretty close to New England anyway. You think there's ever gonna be any snowstorms and blizzards and stuff? You think that's gonna happen? Huh? Yeah. Now, if you were living on the Cape, would you think that, oh, we're never going to have a hurricane? Mm-mm. No. We expect it. So what do we do ahead of time? Prepare. Yeah. How do you prepare? Right now, I think everybody's preparing for winter, even though that we hate that word. That four-letter word. Snow. I hate snow. I mean, you know what, it's nice. There's one thing about snow, it covers over all the garbage off the ground, you know, when they're for a snowboard. You know, that's what God does in our life. We have a garbage life, we've lived a garbage life, and when the blood covers us, it's like snow. White. He covers us white as snow, so that the snow covers over your whole life, and then you look clean before God for the rest of your life. Isn't that nice? That's what he does. But God has charted a course. He has planned your life. And many of us this morning are not following that plan, because you already made yourselves the God of your own convenience, because you started your own careers, you married your own spouses, and without the help of God. Not every time, but we do make decisions like that, don't we? We jump into things and we say, without asking God's permission, should I do this or not? And then something goes tragically wrong. And now we're trying to find a place to hide. Like, remember Adam and Eve? You know, they ate out of the garden. They weren't supposed to. And what was the first place that Adam went? Oh, Adam, I heard you were walking in the garden, and I had to hide because I was naked. Who said you were naked? I didn't say you were naked. Did you? Why did you say you were naked? Yeah, they kind of made a bad decision, didn't he? And then he ruined it for the rest of the world. As by one man, sin came into the world, and death by sin. So death passed upon all men, for all have sinned. Yeah. Sometimes our mistakes can ruin our families, our marriages, our jobs, our careers, everything, because we did something without God. We create our own tragedy, our own storms, because we left God out of the picture. God looks at these trials and tribulations as good.
Good.
What good could that be for you and for me? We learn from them. He helps us through them. He wants us to show when we do go through them, he wants us to be able to learn from them so that we don't go down that path again. But he lets us do it. And then we curse ourselves. Oh, what did I do that for? You know, that was dumb and it was stupid. You know, how good is it to break a leg or have a heart attack? I mean, really? But, you know, but sometimes we wake up and call, you know, wake up, call to our destructive path that we're taking in God and, you know, and say, God, I'm going in the wrong, help me. Kind of wakes us up from the destruction that we're caught, we're bringing ourselves to. And that's why we have pastors and teachers and people and so on. But you know what? We had our first song. And I was, when I was trying to plan the message, I just says, you know, the Rock of Ages. Remember that song, Rock of Ages, cleft for me. Let me hide thyself and hide myself in thee. But the Rock of Ages, you know what? It still stands. A refuge from all life's demands. A place to hide, to weep, and to rest. Jesus is the rock who stands, holding forth his nail-pierced hands. A shelter from the storm of life is he, saying, come and hide in me. The waves we face sometimes can sweep us off our feet. You've probably been on the beach as much, you know, as I, and all of a sudden you get these tides and you're right near the water and the water kind of comes in and washes the sand away from your feet. You ever do that? It's pretty neat. But and it does that, and it can take you off your feet if you're not careful. But as Christians, we can cling to the Lord because you know what? We're going to face some fierce storms, and we have the ability to weather that storm. Why? Because like we're doing now, we're preparing for the winter time. We're fixing our homes, we're getting food, we're whatever we're doing, because the winter's coming. We'll go pretty soon. I'm gonna be getting my snowblower ready and, you know, just to have plenty of time. You know, we may have snow and, you know, in Halloween or something. I don't know when it's gonna come, but we're gonna be able to do something with that because we're preparing. I never seen so much, you know, when you're threatening a hurricane or any kind of fierce weather, that everybody goes to the store, the Big Y, or wherever you go, and they get eggs and milk and bread and stuff, you know? I mean, there's more than life than that. I just get some, like, gasoline, you know, for my generator or whatever you need for those kind of things to prepare. That's what God is having us on this earth for. He's preparing us because we will have storms, we will have troubles, we will have trials, but he wants us ready for them. Are you ready for them? Sometimes we act as though that they're just, wow, God can't handle this. It's too big for God. Yeah, it is. I mean, you talk about Wren. My grandson Lucas has leukemia. God can do all kinds of stuff that he can. I've seen it. I've seen it done before. I've seen the healings. I've seen miracles. I've seen cancer healed. One woman that I wrote about in my book was a woman that I knew, and she had, God had to fillet my finger where I needed to go to the hospital and get stitches. It's because she was in the next room, a person I knew who, you know, personal friends. And I said, Marilyn, what are you doing here? She said, I have cancer. This is my last, I'm dying. I only have a week or so to live. Oh, man. She says, well, I'd like to pray for you. So I started praying for her, and I visited her over almost every day that week. And all of a sudden, it was kind of interesting because I said this stupid prayer because I believe God. Oh, I believe that I'm going to pray that God is going to help you walk out of this room, out of this hospital. And her kids were there and said, Chuck, that was the stupidest thing you ever could have said. I says, I believe that I have the God of the Bible. I believe that God can heal because I've seen it happen. I've seen it happen. I've experienced it. I've read about it. Nothing's impossible with God. Well, that week turned into 2 weeks, and those 2 weeks turned into 4 weeks, and those 4 weeks turned into 8 weeks, and then in about 2 months, she walked out of that hospital. Na 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 na. Told you. Because he can. I know. I've seen it. I've seen it with my own son, and we're gonna see it with Ren. We're gonna see it with Lucas. Because it's faith that overcomes the world. But when the storms come, does your anchor hold? Are you gripping on the rock? And when that comes, man, it's going to move the ship. It's going to move the earth, but it comes. But if your anchor is held to the rock of Christ, you'll be secure. You know, an anchor is used on a ship or a boat stationary in water. The anchor is attached to the ship by a cable or a chain. And when thrown overboard, its weight and its ability to dig into the bottom of the sea stops the vessel from drifting. And Hebrews 6:19 uses anchor figuratively to indicate that God is immovable. Immovable of God's promises of salvation, especially to those who believe in him. And for what that which supports or keeps one steadfast in times of trial or doubt, that is an emblem of hope. And if you fear, put all your trust in the Lord, because that anchor holds. It holds. It holds in the darkness. It holds in the tempest. It holds for the sin. It holds for the sorrow. Hebrews 6:19 says this, which hope we have as an anchor to the soul, both steadfast and sure, which enters in at the veil. And that's where Christ steps in, because we can go to him, because he's the one who can get to God. So we don't have to lose heart or hope, but we can trust. The problem is not the trust as much as it is the wait. I hate waiting. Oh, I hate waiting. We have some stoplights in North Adams. I could bring my electric shaver and I could sit there before this cycle goes around and go like, and be done. And before the light turns green, you know? I hate that. It's a great way of using time up, you know, wasting time. But still. And then we had coming in here this morning, I thought that the person in front of us confused the route number with the speed sign, you know? Maybe they were just one of those Sunday things, you know? It's not 43 miles an hour here. Hate waiting. The anchor of the soul, which hope, that's hope is expectation that's used here. We have an anchor of the soul for God's purposes and promises, and which is most sure like an anchor. It grips, you know, the anchor will drag for a little while until it finds something to hold on to, and then... Ever go fishing in a boat, whatever, and just try to fish, and you don't anchor, and you end up like, goodbye! Just the drift will take you somewhere, you know? And then I remember going with my father, we just drop anchor, and we kind of go around the circle. We get the real full radius of fishing anyway, you know? Or just be able to drop it out, and yeah, it was interesting. But, you know, but this is sure and steadfast. This hope is a stay, and it's amid the tribulous world that we live in right now. Because the voyage that we are on can be marked by storms, And these storms are occasioned by what? Bodily afflictions. There are temporal anxieties and losses and family trials and domestic and social bereavements and spiritual conflicts. They're all over the place. Yet, where do we go? We have to go to God. God. Yep, we are in this world as a ship at sea. Liable, you know, tossed up and down, and in the dangers of being cast away, our souls are on that vessel. The comforts, the expectations, the graces, the happiness of our soul are the precious cargo in which these vessels are loaded. Heaven is the harbor in which we sail. The temptations, the persecutions, the afflictions that we encounter are the winds and the waves that threaten the shipwreck. As we were leaving Boston, and as we were getting into Bermuda too, but as we were leaving Boston, and especially when you go to Maine, we went to Maine afterwards, a lot of lighthouses. What's the purpose of a lighthouse? You don't crash into the rocks, into the coral. By some of our journeys, we get close, and in the midst of a storm and the fog and everything, and you hear that, woo! Oh, you know something's close. Especially when you start seeing seagulls. I think land is out here! You know? But yeah, and then you see the light, the comfort, when you see the light at the end of the storm. It's amazing. You know, but the thing is, if it's not handled by the captain of our faith, the Lord Jesus Christ, and we decide to handle it ourselves, we are certain to fall upon the rocks. I'm glad we had a good captain on our ship who was wise enough, who also did our wedding, by the way. Nice guy. Who's been traveling the seas for many years, knows the ins and outs and how to do it. See, we have a great captain, the Lord Jesus Christ, because he's handling our storm. Even though we're on board the ship, sometimes it's rocking, He certainly has control. Well, we're gonna go on the south side of the storm so that we don't have to hit the waves. Man, if I was a harbor pilot, or if I was, you know, on a, I wouldn't know what to do. I don't know anything about that stuff. I'm trying to do it myself. What would happen if I tried to steer the ship myself? I'd be going, you know. I'd be kind of like inundated with waves. But we have a need of an anchor that keeps sure and steadfast, or we are in continual danger. The gospel is our hope. And as a helmet is for protection in like football or wherever, our protection, we're going to have battles and we're going to need that. We're going to need as much protection as we can get. It's sure and steadfast, or else it couldn't keep us so. Turn to Romans, please. Romans 5. Romans 5 and... Yeah, Romans 5, 1 through 5. Romans 5, 1 through 5. Therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God. You have peace in your storm. You're having peace. Notice, being justified, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom also we have access by faith into this grace wherein we stand, and rejoice in hope of the glory of God. Not only so, but we glory in tribulation also. What do you mean glory in tribulation? Knowing that tribulation, what's it doing? Working patience. And then as you get patience, what else does it do? Experience. It's going in line here. It's giving us experience. And from experience where? Hope. And hope maketh not ashamed, because the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Ghost, in which is given unto us. First, it is sure in its own nature, something to be relied on. It's a special work of God in the soul. There is no hope made out of a spider's web. And compared to our strength versus God's strength, when the true work of God is going on in your life, the works that we do will be like a spider's web, where God's work is always going to be perfect. It's strong and substantial and something that we need. Secondly, not only is it sure, but it's steadfast. Steadfast. It's an anchor that's taken good hold, and the anchor that cast upon a rock. Who is that rock? That rock is Jesus. He's the rock of ages. The cleft for me. It doesn't seek to fasten in the sand, but the winds batter the ship, and the day drags the anchor again until he finds that hope that it's not going to go any longer. It's limited. That anchor has been carried to the safest point of all, the anchor of Christ, the inner sanctuary behind the curtain where Jesus goes before to intercede for us when we're going through those trials and tribulations. He's the one that's going for us, the forerunner of his people in the veil. It's to not only to prepare a place for us, but to plead for us for the throne of God on our behalf within the heavenly sanctuary where he functions as our high priest forever. You know, this Christian's hope is an anchor from which it cannot be shaken loose. Can't be shaken loose, and could cling to it right to the very end. Until all of a sudden, kind of back up a little, all right, and lifts it up. These storms try and imperil the soul. It's a danger of striking upon hidden rocks of wood and clay and stubble and hideous sins of our life, and being driven by the wild winds of passion against the stern of the stony cliffs, and being hurriedly, helplessly onward by fleece storms and sorrows and so on. When we go into a harbor, when we're getting ready to go on shore, you know, going to the island, they always have a harbor master come in. And that harbor master comes into the ship, and he climbs on board the ship, and he guides the ship, because that harbor master knows that harbor. And he knows exactly where to put that ship so it's not cast upon the rocks or the coral, especially in Bermuda, which is some great snorkeling, by the way. And so you have to kind of go in between, you know, the captain doesn't always know that, because the tides change and different things happen. They just had a hurricane, and so all kinds of little things, you know, the winds and whatever. So the harbor master knows all that, and he's the one who takes the ship into and pops it, you know, puts it in its place. Aren't you glad that Christ does that for us? He has the control. He should have the control of our life, so that we're not, he knows whether the coral and the rocks are and the ledge and so on and so forth, and he can just bring us through that storm, through that harbor, through all those danger zones that we're not always able to see. Because, you know, when the waters are so clear, you think that it's 10 feet, but it's actually 110. You know, it's amazing. You see the bottom. It's just not like Boston. It's dark. That harbor, I don't know what they put in there, whatever. But it's gross. Difference in watercolor for sure. And then even better down in the Caribbean. But anyway, that's even different. But, you know, just as you can't see the hidden rocks or the icebergs or anything like that, God has the future concealed for his glory, that you might be able to trust in him and not the prognosticators of the world, and not trying to do it yourself, trusting in him. God, you are my pilot. Take me through this. We're not supposed to be taken out of it. He doesn't promise to take us out of the problem. We're expected to get through it. And we get stronger for it when we do. You know, just as the water conceals the bottom and cannot see the cables of the anchor where it is made steadfast, it's firmly fixed upon the rock of Jesus. He already knows our future and lies within the hidden veil of the blessed heavenly sanctuary. And in due time, be drawn in with the anchor to be rescued into the holiest of all. This hope enables the Christian in deep distress to say, "Why art thou cast down, my soul?" In the wildest storms, it inspires him to sing, "God is our refuge and our strength, a very present help in trouble." Hope, an anchor firm and sure, holds fast the Christian vessel and defies the blast. Thus we're saved by hope. Our trials. Why do we enter the trials? We can never be content within our trials. But we have always been, you know, we have to be willing and teachable when God is trying to reveal in something in you. He's trying to build your faith. He's trying to help you get through. He's training you that you can help somebody else. And I know I've been through my fires. Anita's been through her fires before. And because of that very fact that he brings two of us together, we can help others too. Because they're facing stuff that they've never seen before, and we have. Let me help you. That's what they do. That's what we do as Christians. I've been there before. I know what it feels like. Let me help you. You know, just because we're Christian, things don't always work out good, do they? No. You know, it's God's will to make us like his sons. And for some, it will take some work. But because we have so much pride and self-will that God must break us like we have to do to an animal or a wild horse just to get our attention. So we have to let God have his way in our life. Are you going through some stuff? Let God control the storms and let the harbor pilot bring it through. Huh? Because he will. And he does. And I've seen it an awful lot. One more verse. Malachi 3:3. There's a refining purpose and process. It says in Malachi 3:3, "For he is like a refiner's fire and like fuller's soap, and shall sit as a refiner and purifier of silver, and he shall purify the sons of Levi and purge them as gold and silver, that they may offer unto God an offering in righteousness." In closing, the purifier, when he's purifying gold and silver, he sits before the crucifier where they're doing the gold and the silver. He fixes his eyes on the metal and taking care of that fire that is not too hot, it's not too cold, and keeping the metal in and only until it knows the dross to be completely removed by seeing his own image reflected. When he sees his face like a mirror, it's done. It's done. In the glowing mass, it's done. That's what he does for us. When we're going through the trials, and even though it may seem like it's getting awful hot in here, all of a sudden, when Jesus sees his face in us, turns the heat off. And then we can praise him. Boy, God, that was a hard one. That was tough. But sometimes it's hard to sit there and be purified, because he's just trying to make a better you. He's trying to make a better me. Let's pray. Lord God, we are gracious that the world, even though the world is going through storms, even our lives are going through storms, even our families are going through storms, you're working in us. As we are getting a little bit heated, it's not until you see your face in us that the heat turns down. The reflection of the child of God who looks more like Christ every day through these difficulties, that you, Lord, are always going to shine. Help us as we go through our storms of life, as we prepare for storms that haven't come yet, and they're going to come, Lord, we know that. And sometimes they get a little hard. Sometimes it may even include death. But what is that for? And I know, Lord, that sometimes we always say, well, you know, you never give us any more than we can handle, and you know. But yeah, but you do. You do. We are. It's not that we. It could be the very one is being taken because they can't take any more. It's we, as the ones that have to look at that, are the ones that are hurt. Why would God do this? We question you, Lord. Oh, we shouldn't question. We know that the God in this earth will always do right. Lord, show us how, even in our storms that we will face, that we are facing now, show us, Lord, your face, your protection, your wisdom, your guidance, and that harbor pilot, as it guides us through the coral into the promised land, will give us your blessings over and over again, that we can share them with others so that they too might see Christ as they enter into the trials, that you and that we as individuals be able to share, this is what God told me. This is how I can help you. Lord, thank you, Lord, for today. Because, Lord, I needed this too. We thank you in Christ's name, amen.